Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Today we have on my friend Haley Burley, someone I just find fascinating and enlightening and inspiring. Haley and I actually found each other through Instagram when she bought Young Living Essential Oils with me, but there was an order mishap and we were back and forth with customer support for like an hour and a half, and thus we were solidified as friends after going through so much emotionally. But I'm so blessed because she's really so freaking cool. Haley lives in the middle of nowhere, Canada, I think Manitoba, in the forest, straight up among nature, such a dream. She's a woo-woo girl like us. She's very spiritual. She's connected with nature. Her practice with grounding with Mother Nature is beautiful, but I'm going to let her explain that to you. We talk all about living in alignment with nature, the time that she went on a journey with a shaman and an octopus sacrificed itself for her, spirituality in general, and small trigger warning, we do talk about menstrual blood on our faces. So this will be the moment you love or hate me, but stick around, just give me a chance. Anyway, you will enjoy being a fly on the wall for our candid discussion and giggles, and I hope that you feel like this was as much of a girl party as it was for us. Okay, guys, bye. Have fun. So you said, you texted me before this and you said, I just saw your stories. Let me know if you need a minute. So I thought that this could be a great opening conversation. Did you listen to all of those stories?
I got to the part where you were like talking about how mothers, there's no more personalities after becoming a motherhood or mother. And then I ate my chili, so then I stopped watching.
Did you feel that when you became a mother? Did you get that underlying pressure from society, expectation that your life is over in that regard?
My kid is 12, and I still feel like that sometimes. I'm like, oh, wait, I can be myself. This is allowed.
And isn't that so sad?
I know it is.
And I have had so many friends that are like holding off on having children that they want because they feel that they're just not ready yet to give up their personality and their hopes and dreams. And I think that's such icky energy. And I hate that women have to feel this way from society. And so I have been, because it's not true. And since I was pregnant, I was like, I started calling early postpartum my MILF era because so many people say such awful things about early postpartum, which it's challenging. Naturally, our body's gone through so much and there's, you know, trying to learn how to bond with your baby and the journey of breastfeeding if you choose to do so, and the lack of support, and then the pressure of work, like also icky, but also such an up level. Such a portal that you go through, and such an opportunity for a new identity that not everyone gets the opportunity to have. So since I was pregnant, I've been very intent on making this idea of motherhood not what I have always been taught that it is, of so much self-sacrifice to the point that you don't exist anymore, except for your role for other people.
So I, my best friend Colleen taught me, she's absolutely feral and iconic, taught me how to shotgun a beer by biting the can instead of using the key. I know, right? The key is unsanitary. And so it was a dream of mine for my wedding at the end of the aisle to shotgun a beer after we got married. I was like, this is going to be an iconic picture. So I practiced for a year. And we took our engagement pictures. One of them was me shotgunning a beer. We did the shotgun beer at our wedding. So then naturally, we took the shotgunning pictures for our maternity shoots. I had a jug of water. Robbie had the beer. And then I took one with my baby once he was a couple months old. And then we did family photos, did it then, you know. And we're just like making a thing of it because it's so important for me to be like, I'm still Susie. This is still a thing that Susie does and tries to whip out at parties. And I think it's silly and funny. And I always acknowledged or admired hearing stories about my parents' past, specifically my dad, huge partier. And I almost found that as like a sense of pride. Like, look how cool my dad was and these parts of him that still come out in different settings. So I posted that Christmas card picture, which one you will be getting. And I've gotten, you know, great comments, but I think today it just fell into the wrong audience. people are like, that baby's trying to call CPS. And I'm like, hey, let's take this back a little bit. I'm trying to fight for the rights of women and their identities and motherhood.
I feel like it's so, I had a baby when I was 15. It's funny because it's like, actually, I had no idea who I was. And like, I was just trying to like figure out, not everything, but high school.
Yeah.
And like things like that. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I've been a mom my whole life.
Yeah. But for those formative years.
Yeah. Right. So, now I'm like, okay, well, what do I like? What do I, you know, what am I interested in? And that now is when I'm like kind of discovering those things. Discovering like spirituality is like a huge part of my life now. And my kids are like, my mom's a witch.
Do you follow Yoga Girl? Do you know who she is?
No.
It's okay. I do recommend. I've been following her for like 13 years. So we have a long, deep relationship. But she is very... Long story short, she has a daughter who is now 7 and has been having this open conversation. I don't think she's pagan, but she does do a lot of pagan things, and just recently moved from Aruba, where she was a yoga instructor and had her own yoga studio, back to her roots where she came from in Sweden and lives in the woods of Sweden with her husband and her baby.
I love that.
Has just kind of done like a complete unravel where she was this big social media yoga person and is now like wants to homestead and is in the process of learning herbalism and has a very specific tea ceremony every morning and like communes with the earth and takes a cold plunge in the lake in Sweden in winter every morning. And so she's very intentional with using the word witch around her daughter and reclaiming that, because witches were the community medicine women. And for their wisdom and that power and that divine connection that other people don't have, that males don't have, they were persecuted for that. And so I love that your kids are going around fearlessly saying, my mom's a witch.
Yeah.
Because there shouldn't be fear. I mean,
no.
There's a whole bunch of
It's a lot. But you know, the word witch comes from the wise. Like that's I learned that from Mia Magic, and she's like, there's so many things I've learned from her. But so like, to me, using like witchcraft and like doing witchcraft, and that's like using your wisdom and bringing it into like your daily like kind of life. Like, it doesn't have to be this like once, you know, oh, it's a full moon, let's do this. Like, I practice witchcraft all the time, every day. Like, I have, you know, and my kids are this, like, they have kind, they have normalized it. They have, like, oh, we got a smudge and da-da-da, you know, like, like, oh, we had an argument after supper, get the smudge, like.
That's such a wonderful practice.
Yeah. And just using, yeah, like, it's using your wisdom in, like, the earth and, like, with animals and even, like, with food. You were on the, you watched the herbalism workshop. Woo! That was so good. That was my first herbalism workshop anything. So that was cool.
Same. Same.
But I've been using, like, herbs and stuff for, like, the magical properties in herbs. So I have, like, these little spell jars that I do and, like, whatever. And but I think about it when, like, I'm cooking. Like, oh, you know, like, basil and everything. Oh, this is good for good luck. A little bit of that, yeah. You know, just, like, things like that. And that's all to do with your wisdom, witchcraft. So.
Yeah, and it's so, it's really, I think I'm not a pagan. I'm not a witch. I'm a very strong Christian. However, I think it's important for a lot of people to take the fear out of a lot of these other practices that we have been taught to fear and just ask questions out of curiosity. Because I don't have to agree with everything that you're doing, but when we hear the word witchcraft, we think demonic. We think,
yeah,
bad energy leading me down a dark path. When I lived with two witches in college, they went to coven every Sunday. They had one had a wand and the cape and, like, the whole thing. They did Maybon celebrations and such. And that's when I really realized this is such a beautiful practice of communing with nature and, yeah, a celebration of nature and intention with nature that really all of us could benefit from. All of us could benefit from stirring intentions into the food that we're cooking. All of us could benefit from getting our feet in the grass. All of us could benefit from having practices with the moon. And I mean, which is powerful. Our periods are synced with the moon for a reason. This is a cyclical thing that's happening that our bodies are responding to. And I think that that is speaking to us. And I think that the more that we all, regardless of our beliefs and our faith and our religion, I think it's something that we would all undoubtedly benefit from, so many of these practices. That's why so many of these pagan practices have been co-opted by, yeah, other religions, because, yeah, they're important, you know?
Because I grew up, like, going to church every Sunday, doing all the things like that. I went to Bible camp, like, but so I believe in God. Like, I love God. I don't really know. Like, I don't know where I stand. So I just kind of, like, take everything in. Like, yes, I like that. I don't, like, identify as, like, a witch or, like, whatever, you know, like, I do witchy things and I love that. But yeah. And that's just, like, what we were talking about, like, discovering myself and stuff now that my kids are older and I'm older and growing up with them.
Well, I think that's beautiful. And I think that's an important part an important path that everybody needs to go on is dabbling in a little bit of everything, being open to what different people have to say to you, picking up what resonates and seeing how you can integrate those all together. I mean, yeah, people call me a witch. My friends call me a witch too.
Yeah.
That's where Woo Woo Bestie came from. I always had these crystals and the essential oils and the herbs and the Palo Santo that my friends would ask me to bring over. And they're like, Susie's doing her witchy stuff again. And, you know, farthest thing. But anyway, still beautiful, beautiful practices that I'm still integrating today. Anyway, I wanted to rewind because I knew that was going to be a good conversation. How did we meet? I feel like this, I want to start off at the beginning, which was not that long ago, but we already are soul sisters.
Yeah. Like, okay. So I'm, like, scrolling through Instagram, not looking up anything. I was just scrolling, looking for, like, inspo and, like, just, you know, but whatever.
Doom scrolling.
Yeah. Doom scrolling. And I see you and your Woo Woo Bestie video. And I'm like, Yes. I wish I would have came up with this. And so, like, a few days later, oh, another one. And I just kept seeing you. And I was like, okay. Like, like, I immediately followed you. I realized that the world is not that big of a place. I can talk to you. And I was like, this, she sells Young Living. Like, I'm just going to reach out because I've been looking for someone that I resonate with more to actually get on the Young Living train, because I've used oils in the past, but I wanted to get back into it and learn more about just, like, not just diffusing them. So I was just like, hey, well, I'm just going to message her. I was interested in the oils, and I was like, okay, can you help me? Like, and then I sent you, like, I think I actually sent you a video, and you're like, oh, I actually love that. And I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. You sent me a video talking to me, and I was like, wait, I feel so much more connected with you because not only do I hear your voice, but I see your face talking, and now I feel like we really know each other and we're connected. And then was it you where we had the whole order problem with Canada?
Yes.
Oh my God. So we
and then I accidentally ordered twice.
So then we were trauma bonded.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's what happened.
So glad that you stuck around with me after that. It takes a special kind of person to have dealt with that so long. With me, I mean, that was a wild ride. And look at you. We're still friends now. Thank God. Yeah. That was a blessing. So tell me about yourself and what you do and why oils were relevant to you and on your radar.
I'm an esthetician, but I'm the spiritual esthetician because I do Reiki, access bars, I do card readings, all these things. When I first got into, like, the spiritual world was when I was going to school for aesthetics, and that's when I got introduced to crystals because my instructor took us to, like, a rock and gem show where it was, like, this huge industrial building filled with crystals, and these ladies are, like, talking about how you can, like, use this crystal to find if there's some pain in someone's body, like, when you're doing massage. And I was like, what? What? And so I was like, this is insane. I'm getting goosebumps because I remember, like, just having this huge, like, awakening, like, there's so much more to this world. Then I was like, well, what are essential oils? And then I had this whole rabbit hole about how I wanted to, like, live non-toxically, so, which I'm working on still.
We all are. I have a death grip on my perfume.
Knowing that the oils, like, I discovered obviously that the oils help with not just, like, oh, let's make the room smell, you know, beautiful and, like, fresh and whatever, instead of using air freshener, we'll diffuse oils. But then I was like, oh, okay, there's more to this. So we can put oils on our different parts of our bodies to help. And then because I'm a Reiki practitioner, I was like, there's oils for chakras. Like, I know there is. And then you came along and I was like, well, and you just had this beautiful little package of, like, this is the oils for all the chakras. I'm like, oh, this is great.
The reason that I asked is because I was looking through your page again last night and trying to seek out wisdom, which I found a lot of fun facts on your pinned post about where I'm getting acne. But I was like, she's not what I thought she was. And I bet you, I mean, you're breaking into a part of this beauty industry with a twist, which is untapped, where you can combine this spirituality with aesthetics. Yes. And I think that's so beautiful because I'm sure that you can speak more on this. They can just continuously reinforce each other. And I, at first, was like, aesthetics. Okay, she does, like, facials. But also, she just, like, is a little bit woo-woo. But no, you do it all in your business.
Yes.
So does it look like often do people come to you for Reiki period, or do people come to you for like Reiki body massage? Do you combine those things ever?
Yes, actually. So I'm actually working on like incorporating like a Reiki facial type thing. But I have packages where you can come for a facial and have like a Reiki add-on. But I do have clients that just come just for Reiki or like just for facials. But then they start to ask like, okay, well, what is this? And I'm like, let me show you. Because a lot of it is like an experience that you have to experience. Like it's hard to actually explain, you know, because every time someone comes for Reiki, it's always different. But yeah, like I have a pendulum and I can feel like I'll use the pendulum or I'll feel with my energy like, oh, does this, you know, your left knee bother you? And they're like, yeah, I fell and hurt it when I was 12 playing hockey or like whatever, you know? Yeah, I do incorporate and use my energy therapy with massages and facials. But it's so different because it's not just like, oh, come in, you know, let's do your nails, let's do this. It's so much deeper than that. You know what I mean? And that's actually why I wanted to get into the beauty industry, was like to make people feel good and to change, like not just like the outside, but like the inside also. And to help people heal that deep-rooted pain.
Is there any way you can speak on how getting our energies in line and unblocking our chakras and addressing those wounds and emotions that we're holding on to can actually have a physical manifestation on our faces and on our bodies once we clear those?
Oh my God, 100%. So remember, okay, so I did this little analogy or explanation with the cup, with holding the cup.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so you're holding this glass, whatever, pretend I have a cup in my hand, and it doesn't hurt. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm just holding this cup. But after a while, it starts to hurt. Like, after, you know, an hour, it's like, okay, my arm is sore now. After a couple hours, it's like, I really want to put this cup down. After a week, it's like, I'm paralyzed. Like, I'm, you know, having so much pain. So imagine that stress. You're holding on to stress in your body. It's going to manifest into pain. And then you're going to have issues. Like, if you think of, like, okay, so people that have stress, they'll get, like, ulcers. Like, when someone has ulcers, they also have, like, they also deal with a lot of stress. Yes. Right? So that's probably because the stress has manifested into the ulcer and has causing now health issues, right? A lot of times when people have like sore shoulders, there's stuff going on in their heart chakra. If you think of also like a water hose and there's a kink in the water hose and there's like pressure building up, pressure building up, pressure building up, then it can't flow properly. That's energy in the body, right? So if there's something blocking, then the energy can't flow, and that energy is like past traumatic, or those blocks are like past traumatic experiences, generational trauma and things like that that we actually get passed down because our parents haven't dealt with it. So then we take it on, and then it's just, it can manifest into bigger things, right? So when we're removing those blocks, that's why we feel so good after a Reiki session, is because you're actually like putting down that cup, or, you know, like you're releasing so that the energy can flow properly.
What first made me be like, I need to get this girl on this podcast is when I saw on your stories, I can't remember exactly what it was. Maybe you'll remember. You were talking about something spiritual, something woo-woo, something right up my alley. And I was like, you know what? I need this girl in my life because I need her wisdom and I want her to be an expander for me. And so I just sent you a voice message and I said, I, if you are willing, need you to tell me a daily spiritual practice that you do every day that you can break down for me as if I'm a kindergartner, that is just your bread and butter, you swear by this spiritual practice to keep you connected. What would that be? Because I have one. And I know that someone like you, just the way that you speak, also had to have something that kept you grounded. And your explanation of that daily or as often as possible spiritual practice was so beautiful, so digestible, and made so much sense and was something I never thought of before. So would you mind sharing that with us?
Yes. I totally remember what you're talking about. So since I started my spiritual journey and this healing process, I have had such a deep connection with the earth, and it just, as I go, it keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper to where I almost can like feel like the pain. And so when I went to the Sweat Lodge, which is like a beautiful, sacred, intense healing ceremony, I just could not stop crying. I was uncontrollably crying because it was like the pain of the earth because of all of the things that we do and have been doing to her. And so the biggest thing that I can do in my morning routine, and just daily, doesn't have to be morning, but sometime during the day, is what I try to do is connect with the earth, not just like, you know, touching the earth. Like that's super important too, to just ground yourself. But asking her, like, what do you need from me? And giving her what you don't need to hold on to, what you're needing to release, giving it back to the earth. So that the earth, like a tree, which I'm very connected to trees. Also, it's winter and we have so much snow that I can't be barefoot. So that's my way of like grounding myself, is like touching a tree, hugging a tree, releasing it that way. And then the trees create clean air. Like it's all just, you know,
a cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. But so what I was explaining to you was we are an extension of nature. The elements of nature are also within us. So if you think of like the water, that's like our blood, our sweat, our sacred juices, our tears, the body, the earth, that's our bodies, our breath, that's the wind. That thing that sets us on fire, that's fire. That's the element of fire. And our bones, that's like the trees and like the stones of the earth, right? So like when we're connecting with nature, we're also connecting to ourselves. We're like going within and healing ourselves through connecting with nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing with meditation too. It's all about like coming home to ourselves and quieting our minds and listening, okay, what do I need right now? And also, you know, when you are doing your grounding work, asking Earth, what do you need from me? Because that's our mother. Like this is our supporter. This is our, the Earth is our home. And I feel like it's just such a huge, that's one of my huge life missions, is bringing more awareness to that and bringing more awareness to like people being more mindful, I guess, about like daily things, like not using so much plastic and you know, shopping, not like shopping fast fashion, things like that. I went on the shamanic journey. Have you ever had an experience like that?
I have so deeply yearned to, and then I got pregnant.
Oh, okay. My friend went to BC, and she became a shaman, and then she came back, and she's like, I'm a shaman now. I had no idea. I was like, oh! So she took me on a journey. She did a shamanic journeying for me, which was beautiful. And I actually journeyed myself before to meet my spirit animals.
I have known a shaman, and she did have a situation, sir, experience that she led me through to meet my spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
So I backtrack. She led you on a journey. You had led yourself on a journey before, which I would also like to know about. Yeah. So you met your spirit animals.
Yeah. So I kind of knew what was going to happen, but not really, because it was way more intense with her. She, you know, she told me all these things that spirit animals told me. I had like a soul retrieval and a soul extraction, which is like a whole thing. I had an octopus like sacrifice itself for me, and like, it's so crazy. Like, it's intense. I was like,
how long was this process?
Like 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, had to be. Did you see this octopus?
No, she was the one seeing everything. She had her drum, which I was gifted this beautiful drum this summer. And my friend told me that I have shamanic abilities, like gifts. So she said, so then I got this drum this summer, and I was like, oh, like, this is like, I really do have to study this and, like, you know, dive into it. But anyways, so she told me all these things, and I was like, what? And so I've been very connected to animals too, which is another part of, you know, honoring Earth and taking care of the Earth and all this. Anyways, so there was that time. And then this third time that I wanted to do a journey, she was drumming, and I was going to do it myself. Like, so I went, and to get to, like, the spirit animal realm, you have to enter this different world. So it's the lower world. So there's the lower world, and then there's, like, our realm, which is, like, the middle world. And then the upper world is, like, where our, like, angels and ancestors are. Anyway, so I'm in our world, the middle world, and I have to find some kind of like tree or like body of water where I have to like go deep down. And then all of a sudden you're like in the lower world, which it's like a whole process. But that's,
and you're visualizing this.
Yes. So it's like a very intense meditation.
Yeah.
So I always imagine when I'm trying to do this journeying process, I'm at there's a spot where I grew up, there's waterfalls, and then there's a rock that you could stand on to fish. So my son, he was standing on this rock and he caught his first fish. I'll never forget it. But I just remember being like, we're not fishing here, like, this is crazy, you're gonna fall, like, whatever. It ended up being fine. And then as this is happening, there's a bear like across from us. It was crazy. Anyways, so when I went on this journeying, I went to this rock, and I remember going into the water, and it was so hard because we have the current of the falls. And so I'm going in, I'm getting deeper, getting lower, and then I have the weeds, and I'm going through the weeds, and then all of a sudden you're in this mud, and so then, okay, finally you're at the bottom. And then boom. And then I'm at this like tree, and I'm like in this beautiful field, and there's like horses, and like, it was amazing. So that was my first, that's kind of like the process of how you get to the lower world. So this other time, the third time I tried to journey, I went to the rock. I was trying to get into the water, and everything was stopping me. There was fog. There was webs, like spider webs. There were like, I can't remember what else. There was like a wall of water. Everything was stopping me. And I was asking the animals, like, help me. Like, what's, I need help going into the lower world. And the trees and everything was talking to me and saying, you can't go to the lower world again until you help the earth, help the middle realm, this realm that you're in, help earth. And that, and then I like woke up and I was like, oh, okay. This is like my, like a huge mission right now for me, to help the earth. And so that's why I'm like, every day I try to, not every day, but when I can, or like, whatever, we can make time for things if we really want to. But that is like one of my biggest things, is like, I give my energy to the earth, the things that I don't need to hold on to. And then I ask her, what can I do for you? You know? And sometimes all she wants us to do is sit with her, you know, and just like acknowledge her and love her. Another quick thing that I try to do every day is, because I'm so like connected with the earth and animals, is I try to, like, I love animal spirit, like animal medicine is like, I just love it. Like, that's,
what does that mean?
It's like, it's like plant medicine. Like, you know how we use plants and like,
yeah,
different things about plants. So animal medicine is like honoring the animals. So like right now I'm wearing snake earrings. So I'm like, okay, I'm honoring like transformation. Right now I am in like a big transformation period. Like I feel like a part of me is actually dying, which is like an awful feeling. But I'm like, okay, like,
but we know what comes after that.
Yeah, just breathe through it. Everything's going to be okay. Thinking of what the animal is teaching us, if you think of anything, like if you're going through something in your life and you notice an animal and you're like, okay, this animal is telling me something. This could be in dreams, in movies, in real life. What is that animal telling me? And so you think of the characteristics of the animal. You know, where they live, do they live in water, do they live on land, do they fly? Like, I'm wearing owls in my hair. So
I would have loved that.
That is higher perspective. It's guidance. It's how do I need to guide myself, like my thinking of who I was in the past. How can I guide her to becoming this transformative being so that it's easier to like transition? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm using the animals as my guides every day. Every day is different.
I'm grateful that you said that sometimes it's as simple as being acknowledged, because I ground every day, as you see, and I have a lot of people in my DMs tell me they've recently started a grounding practice too, and grounding with their babies, which I love, and how much better they're feeling. And I'm like, people don't realize how disconnected we are from the earth until they have someone that purposefully and intentionally tells them to do it. And then they put their feet in the earth and realize, one, that they haven't really done that in like months. And then they realize how good it feels. And it's sad that so many people, that we are just so disconnected from the earth, and we don't have something pushing us to do these simple things. Like, we see earth, we're in earth, we walk, we see the bushes, but are we really seeing the bushes? Are we really taking advantage of the gifts that we have to offer? Are we really taking time to reflect and meditate on the miracles and the magic that are nature as a whole? And now I'm getting like, I don't know, woo-woo and a little bit, I don't know, cheesy, but like how flowers grow. Growing your own herbs, That's magic. That's straight magic. The life cycles of all of these animals, how they survive, all of these like moths that we come across. I don't, the fact that we come across trees that are so well established and ginormous, they have wisdom and have seen things for hundreds of years, and that is soaked into their roots and into their bark and into their leaves. And I can't help but think that by spending time with these trees and putting my hands on these trees, I can absorb some of that and appreciate the fact that that tree is still there and that that tree has so much wisdom to offer that people are not paying attention to.
Yeah.
And so, one, thank you for making it that simple. And two, when you are spending time with Earth, whenever you can during the day, is that, are these messages and downloads that you're just getting in your gut clearly?
Yes and no. I think it depends on like my mood and like how, if my brain is very scattered, then I'm like, you know, I kind of almost need to like ground myself before I ground myself, you know, so I can get these like messages. Yeah. Sometimes I do need to get a little bit quieter. And what that's telling me is that I'm not spending enough time doing it sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's like, oh, I don't have time to meditate. Okay. Then you need to actually be meditating longer.
I want to learn also how you came across Mia Magic.
Ooh.
How long have you been following her? Because me, not long.
Oh my gosh. I have been following her probably, I think since COVID.
Oh, okay.
So like a few years.
That you've learned.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to start. I like a lot of the things that I know have been learning from her, but it's also like going to, I live in a really small town. And so we had a like sisterhood. So we'd meet there and do like learn about like card readings and crystals, and we'd make spell jars and like things like that, which was really fun. But I have learned so much from Mia. Like, I feel like we're like soul sisters, even though I've never even talked to her or like met her in real life. Like, I have talked to her actually, but
you have?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I had a dream. Her cat went missing. Do you know about this?
No.
Her cat is like the love of her life. Like, I lost my fur baby in September. So like, I just, so I had a dream of her cat. And so I messaged her, and she's still like looking for her cat, but like she just like sent me this beautiful message like, thank you so much, like da 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 da. But it was so strange. Like, I was like, I'm not a psychic, but I do get people in the spirit world come through when I'm doing Reiki, which is really interesting. Yeah, I have so many stories about that. Like, I feel like I need to start a Reiki podcast, like about all the experiences. I started putting like my moon blood on my face during
Okay. So here's, I'm going to stop you there and interject myself.
Okay.
She was on a podcast that I listen to sometimes called Almost 30. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. You would love it. Very, very good girl.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had her on as a guest, like you can guess.
Yeah.
So this is what I got from her. It was all about, you know, witchcraft, reclaiming the title of witch and the origin of her hat. And these are one of the main things that just stuck with me, which I feel so sad that this is the biggest thing that stuck with me, is that she pees outside as often as she can in the dirt. Has she talked about this?
Yes.
In order to give back to Earth, which I think, you know what, in theory, I think that's beautiful. That's not my journey, but I I really love that connection. And also, on a separate note, I have a cousin who I had a cousin. She recently passed away. It was very sad and sudden. But my family's from Cuba. The majority of them migrated right on time. And so a lot of, and I don't know how familiar you are. Like I'm like five stone throws away from Cuba right now. But in the islands, there's some sketchy religious stuff and spiritual scary stuff, which they dabbled in for a while. I'm not sure if this is related at all, but backstory. And my mom told me that when she was growing up, she would always see my cousin painting her face with her menstrual blood. And I was like, that's fucking weird. And we all thought, that's fucking weird. And I wish so dearly that I asked her about this before she passed away. But right around the time that you brought this conversation up to me when I was talking about the vampire facial, something else came up talking about how many stem cells are in your moon blood. And I was like, oh, connections are happening. Maybe she wasn't so crazy after all. So then when I was telling you about my trip to Ecuador and the vampire facial that they offer, which I'm not interested in, but was just like excited about, you said, hold on. Do you follow Mia Magic? And I said, oh, I know where this is going. And then you said, let's save it for the podcast.
Yes.
So go on with her moon blood, your moon blood. Where did this come from? What's the philosophy? What is your practice?
Okay. Well, growing up, it's like, ew, period. You know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, I am so powerful. I have this like sacred, like juices, like, you know, when you go to a sweat lodge, you can't go in the sweat if you're on your moon time because you're more powerful than the medicine man. So, like, what does that have to tell you? We are more powerful than the medicine man in a sweat lodge. Like, a sweat lodge is the most, like, if you ever get a chance, do it. Like, it's so powerful.
You're so lucky because you have such, you have so many native populations around you.
Well, half of my community is actually a reserve.
That's so cool because there's so much wisdom there.
Oh, so much, right? So what I think is interesting is way back when, you know, we'd live amongst each other and like we'd have different you know, jobs and we lived off of the land. Mm-hmm. The women would all bleed together, right? And it was often during the new moon because that's like the dark time. And if you think about it, like that represents like the womb, like the darkness, the healing, the whatever. So we would all go in this like red tent apparently and bleed together. Mm-hmm. And the earth was so rich in nutrients, right? And so they would use that earth to like do their gardening during the new moon. And that's also when you plant seeds, like apparently it's really good to plant seeds during the new moon, right? Because that's the darkest, and then the plant kind of grows with the light, the moonlight, right? Being an esthetician, when I was younger, even I would try the craziest like skin masks and hair masks. I'd be on Pinterest, like, you know, DIY face mask, whatever. And then so when she was like, I use my moon blood as a face mask, I was like, oh, like I'm going to try that. And so now every like moon time, my skin does not break out because I'm wearing blood, and it's like, so I just feel like empowered. Like I feel like I'm so connected with my body, like the cycles of also nature, right? Because like I said, we are an extension of nature too. If you think of like your phases, like you have like your follicular phase, your ovulation, da 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 da, whatever. Those are times to like go inward. Yep. You know, your menstrual time is like when you're like going inward and like you're in like your winter time, right? So I feel so powerful when I have that on because it's like this is it's sacred. And I could tell you a little story I learned.
I wanted it.
So this girl that was in the sweat lodge with me was telling this story. And I just thought it was so cute and like nice to hear for especially younger girls that are getting their moon time. It was a little town, a little village of people. And there was like the rock people, and they were all men. And there was like the grandfather rock man. And then there was these women. The men thought that when a girl was on her moon time that she was evil. I'm probably not going to tell it how she did, but I'll try. So the grandfather said, oh, you're in your evil time. And so the lady said, no, grandfather, I'm in my sacred time. And he started breaking away. He started breaking away. And then the other girl came and she was on her moon time. And she said, grandfather said, oh no, granddaughter, like you're in your evil time right now. And she said, no, grandfather, I'm in my sacred time. And so he kept breaking more. And then the youngest girl, it was her first moon time. And she went to him and he said, no, like you have to leave, you're in your evil time. And she said, no, grandfather, I'm in my sacred time. And he disintegrated into nothing because she was so powerful and she was so sacred. And he was trying to, banish her. And so she banished him.
Yeah. Empowerment.
I didn't realize how, you know, how powerful we are. And now that, you know, I downloaded that app that you always share.
Stardust.
I love it. It's so good. And so I'm like, wow. And it even goes with like the moon and everything. Everything's connected. So going back to using like your blood as a face mask, it is so good for your skin. Like all the stem cells and everything.
I need you to break down two things. One, like this, the science-y stuff, like the you as an esthetician with your knowledge, what is in the menstrual blood that is actually helping us? And then two, how do you practically do it? Because if I'm being honest, I tried this morning and it happened, but I had a couple of hiccups along the way. So Okay. Tell me everything.
So your menstrual blood, like there's stem cells in it, which is, it's going to increase collagen production. It's going to, you know, there's iron in it, obviously. Like, so what does iron do? Iron brings oxygen to your skin. What does oxygen do? It helps eliminate toxins from your skin, right? So when you're using something that has, you know, the stem cells and then with eliminating toxins, you're glowing and you're getting rid of acne if you suffer from acne, you know? So there's that. And well, doing it is messy. Like it's not that, you know, it's not the easiest thing.
Okay. So, do you have like a brush, like a paintbrush?
Nope. So what I have the cup, like the Diva cup.
Yeah.
So I'll use that. And I only bleed for like 3 days. Which is like, I'm like, aw.
Girl, look at your hormones. Your hormones are in line.
But I'm like sad because I'm like, oh, I wanted to do one more mask.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, so I have the Diva cup and I will take it out and I have a jar, and I'll like put the blood in the jar.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'll wash it, wash my hands and whatever. Just so I don't get like everything everywhere. And then I will literally take it from the jar and just like, yep, and just massage it in your skin. Like, that's literally how I do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last month was my first month using a Diva cup. Okay. And I was taken aback by the difference in texture that I expected, because it was like liquid and I had been used to tampons. And then this morning, and not just liquid, it's like almost coagulated liquid, snotty liquid.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a disclaimer trigger warning at the beginning of it. So I'm like holding my Diva cup and I'm like taking my finger and it's just like this line of snot, if you can visualize it, and then waiting for it to separate and then like doing one of these. And honestly, while I was doing it, I was like, it's the texture. It's so gross, but I want to give it a try. And I got it on my face. I didn't dive all in. Like, there was some extra, which I watered my plants with. Don't want it to go to waste.
Yeah.
And I left it on for probably like 10 minutes while I did my hair and then washed it off.
Perfect.
Is that your timing?
That's literally what I do. Yeah.
Okay. I'm planning now tonight to do it again before bed to maximize all of it.
Yes. Oh, I love it. And you know what's so cool about this too is it brings a new perspective. Like you said, you don't want it to go to waste, so you water your plants with it. But like, we're literally just like, you know, throwing it out and whatever.
Yeah. And I know.
Like, this is gold. Like, we're not going to have this forever. Like, we don't.
Yes. It's the same way.
And use this in like 20 years. Like,
I was literally going to ask you, like, is there an expiration date? Because just this one time, I'm finding how much value is in it. And I had learned about the value of watering our plants with the period blood because there are so many minerals in it that are also found in fertilizers.
Yeah.
And why let it go to waste when, and I feel the same way about breast milk too, obviously, like yeah. The magical properties of breast milk and how it can heal. And just doing it this one time, I'm already like, how can I savor this medicine that my body knows how to make? Yeah. And the more that I'm talking about this actually right now, the more I'm realizing why for hundreds of years, people and men and religions have been suppressing us because our bodies hold so much power, so much sacred power to create so much healing and healing tools for not only us, but for Earth and for sustaining life.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, but okay. Can I tell you one fun fact quickly?
Yes. Because
I thought about Mia, how you were like, she pees outside. I grew up living off grid. Like, so I was like, yeah, we peed outside all the time. Like, you know, I actually, you know, it's crazy that we literally, like, we waste so much water and, like, we're, like, just, like, pissing in it, you know? Like, it's just, like, but, yeah, like, obviously, we have to be mindful about, you know, like, being sanitary and whatever. But, like, yeah, so I lived off-grid. So I just wanted to tell you that. And that's probably why I have such a big connection with the earth and with trees and stuff. Because yeah, I grew up like in the middle of nowhere, no running water, no electricity. We had an outhouse for a bathroom. We only ate like vegetables from the garden and stuff. Like, it was just like crazy.
We might need to have a follow-up podcast on that alone, because that is me and Robbie's dream.
Yeah. I want to do it. Like, I want to go back to that. We were four. Like, my dad still lives there. He has solar panels now, but
oh, he upgraded. He came into the century.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we, like, me and my mom and my brothers, like, moved to Manitoba. He's in Ontario. it's so cool that he's still living like that. And but I was 4 when we left, so like I don't remember a lot, but like, yeah, I remember, like, I feel that's probably why I feel such a deep connection with the earth, right? Because I was brought up that way, like, you know.
That's such a dream. And I'm so glad that you're reinforcing the fact that it was enjoyable. And I'm sure you still go visit your dad and experience it now, right?
The last time I seen, well, also he's very like not techie. Like he doesn't have a phone really. Like he's very like, so it's hard to talk. Like I grew up, actually the first time I went back there was when I was 17. So I do long for that. I think I went back there 3 times since I was 17 and I'm 27.
Now listen, I'm no stranger to peeing in the dirt. Okay. yeah, I'm comfortable doing a little squat, taking a deep breath and relaxing down there. The reason why it got me was I was like, well, today when I was taking my son to the pediatrician, I had to pee. And what do you do when you like to pee outside? And so I was just thinking about what are all these like mundane tasks that she could be out and about doing, but she pees outside. I know, I'm pretty sure she mentioned that there are some times when she will go to the bathroom, like in an airport.
Yeah.
But that was my...
That's so funny. I never thought of that.
Right? Like, I mean, I'm sure you can go behind a building, but in the daytime, in the sunlight, I don't know.
You know, you never know. Might get arrested. Like,
exactly. But like, I also think that she doesn't really... Does she also live sort of off-grid? I feel like she would have to, her personality.
She has moved. And apparently she bought... like a castle type thing, but I don't know because okay. The feng shui lady that I'm working with, she
another thing we need to talk about.
Oh my gosh, feng shui is like, yeah, she was the one that was telling me because I actually discovered my feng shui girl. Her name's Nixie Marie. Okay. I discovered her from watching Mia's YouTube videos. And so she did like a consultation with me and everything. And then she's like, how did you find out about me? I was like, I watched Mia. She's like, oh, she's like, yeah, I'm just doing her castle now. Oh. Like, okay.
Making bank, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you 5 fun questions. Oh, actually, before we do that, you told me on our phone call the other day that you manifested at the beginning of this year to be on a podcast.
Yeah. I love podcasts.
I love when you manifest. Oh, and yeah. I love how this came through for you. And I want to know why you chose podcast, when you set that intention, and what that journey was like.
Well, I listen to podcasts all the time, like when I'm getting ready, when I'm driving, when I'm cooking supper. And I just... you know, there wasn't really a huge, like, intention behind, like, oh, I want to be a guest on a podcast. That was literally it. Like, just a fun thing that I was like, how fun would it be to be a guest on a podcast? And that's how I've been manifesting a lot of things. Like, I try not to have such, like, a huge grip on manifestations, right? Like, just, like, set it out and let it happen.
Yeah.
So that's just like really what happened. I literally just wrote down like 2023. What do I want to do in 2023? Be a guest on a podcast, get a home, da da da. Like, you know, like, so now the year is almost over and I'm a guest on your podcast and I'm so excited.
Right in time. And yeah. I will be airing this. I think I'm going to like re-up the podcast in January with a stack of a whole bunch of people. I'm on a little break right now. So I am so happy that we came across each other because you are the perfect guest.
Yay.
For my audience. This is splendid. Okay. Questions. 1. Tell me when the owl feathers started. And are they all the time or only when you feel like you need that energy?
Like when I put them in my hair? just when I'm like, I was honestly pretty kind of nervous to do this. So I know it's weird, but like, no, I
usually have seashells in my hair.
I know. Well, and that's kind of maybe what, but like, okay, so I was very excited. Then it was like an hour before I was like, I started to get a little bit nervous. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to put some owl feathers in my hair. And good. Like, whatever, because it gives you, like, that's what I was talking about working with animal medicine, is it's giving me, like, guidance, right? But I first started doing the owl feathers in my hair, I had a branding photo shoot, like, for my business. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how can I, because you can only, like, show who you are so much in pictures. Like, I wanted to, like, capture, I'm the spiritual esthetician. So, like, I had, right. like I'm going to put the owl feathers in my hair, and then people are going to see pictures of me doing a facial with owl feathers in my hair, you know?
Yeah, like, you have to go all out to get that personality across.
Yeah.
And so do you only wear them when you feel like you need guidance, or is it a part of your everyday?
Lately it's been, you know what? Actually, it's pretty much only when I'm like needing like more guidance, but I think I'm going to what do you call that? Like embody that. Like I'm going to start incorporating that in my persona or whatever you want to, however you want to call it. Like, oh, that's about the owl feathers in her hair. And you're the girl with the seashells.
Yes. Yes. You'll inspire others. It's another way to commune with the earth.
Yeah. And what is your zodiac sign?
Which one? I'm a are you into astrology?
I'm getting into it. I'm getting into it.
Okay. Because I like to pretend, but nothing sticks with me. I'm a Virgo moon, a Libra, I'm a Virgo sun, Libra moon, Capricorn rising.
Okay. Do you know the element of your, what's the element of Virgo?
Earth.
Okay.
Same with Capricorn. I have no fire in my chart.
You don't have any fire? Okay. Do you have like a water?
I have a Mars in Cancer, I believe. Mercury in Cancer. Yeah, my Saturn is in Pisces. Oh, I was right. My Mars is in Cancer, and my Venus, Jupiter, and Pluto are all in Scorpio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I do a lot of, there is a lot of water in there. I know my Venus line in astrocartography runs through West Palm Beach, Florida, which is where I was born and grew up and just moved away from, right by the beach.
Okay.
And so the beach was very important to me growing up. My father is like a surfer, a fisherman, a diver. He's an accountant. Other things too, and I love how contradictory it is. So the oceans, and I've always lived very close to the ocean. You'll probably watch I watch the sunrise over the ocean often.
While
I was in college, I was landlocked and didn't have easy access to the ocean. So every time I came home for summer or spring break, I would put the seashells in my hair and make an anklet out of them to keep the ocean with me. And that just kind of continued and turned into like this quirky Susie thing. And I feel very connected with the ocean. There's nothing like going to the beach on a day where the ocean is completely flat and clear and just standing in the middle of it up to your shoulders and just letting your body flow with the easeful motion of the water and listening to it lap onto the shore. And I've had some of my most spiritual moments in the water. There was a time right around like pretty much the beginning of my spiritual journey where I was like really in it. I was really in line. I was very grounded. I was like every night I was moon gazing in my driveway, to the point of tears. I was meditating heavily. I was doing so much shadow work. I was working with crystals for the first time, diving into that. I was cultivating herbs. I was learning herbal medicine. And I was going through a really hard time, and I was in the Keys. I'm not sure if, do you know what the Keys are?
No.
They're a couple of islands off of Florida on the south. And we go there often. And I was just praying for a sign at this time, just to, didn't know what it was, praying that I would have some kind of sign that would assure me that this journey would be okay, that I was held, and that I would know when that sign came, that's what it meant. I didn't put specifics on it. And I was snorkeling with my dad, and we found this beautiful coral reef, and we were, you know, just swimming around, looking at the fish, looking at the coral. And all of a sudden I see out of the corner of my eye, this huge shadow. And I'm like, oh my God, shark. And so I grabbed my dad's hand and I was still. And what it was these two giant spotted manta rays, ginormous, probably a wingspan of like 7 feet each.
Oh my God.
Circle around us. And I had never seen a manta ray or stingray. I never remember. It was a manta ray or a stingray, but it was ginormous, both of them, and they were spotted. Had never seen something like that when I was underwater. And I get in the water and snorkel a lot. And that was my sign. And that's when I like knew. And I was like, God, this was such a beautiful, magical experience. And then later, a couple of months later, I found out that that specific species of manta rays, stingrays, I don't remember, are usually only found off the coast of Hawaii. And so the fact that they were in Florida, which, I mean, you don't need to live in America to know how far away those two things are, was just an added layer of this is your sign. So I love the water. I love being by the ocean. I find so much peace there. I do have a lot of water in my chart. However, my big signs are earth signs. So I'm very driven by practicality and routine and detail oriented. And I run high strung, and I've always been inspired by water signs, specifically Pisces, and have always felt like I can learn so much from them. And fun fact, now I'm just going on a little tangent. I got pregnant before my son. It was a very conscious conception. I wanted a Pisces baby. And so I conceived so that I would have a baby that was going to be a Pisces baby, because I thought I could learn a lot from my own child with having such opposite, like the dreamer and like the doer behind the scenes. And that baby was going to be due on 2/22/22, which would have been so great. Right. But unfortunately I lost that baby, but it's funny how things happen, because then I also consciously conceived Hawthorne so that his due date would be on my birthday. Oh. And so he's a Virgo, but his moon is in Cancer and his rising is in Pisces.
Wow.
So I thought that was cute how that all came along. But yes, the seashells, they remind me of the ocean. They keep the ocean near to me. It's very near and dear to my heart. And that's my astrology. Thanks for interviewing me in your interview.
I love it.
Okay. Question number two. What is your favorite part of winter?
Oh my gosh. Well, the snow. I love the snow. It's so pretty. Well, specifically the hoarfrost, which I sent you a video of that one day.
And I had no idea what that word was.
Yeah, like so magical. But I guess the energy of like allowing ourselves to be still. You know, I feel like we are always thinking that we need to be busy, be productive, do this and do that. But just being still and present and like recuperating and conserving our energy. Like that's so important. So important. But yeah. And I also really like sleeping. So I love winter.
Perfect time for that.
Yes.
What's the best part about living in a small town?
The ability to make such a huge impact.
Ooh.
Because I'm the only person that does what I do here. Everyone know, not everyone, but like, I mean, I, you know what, actually, this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I got the chance to work at a health center doing Reiki, like in a health center, like doctors and nurses and stuff that you'd think that they'd be like, oh, like spiritual wellness, energy therapy. You know, right. But I'm like working in the health center doing this. So like, I mean, that's pretty amazing about being in a small town.
It's so beautiful when Western medicine and this more metaphysical medicine can coexist. They're tools. It's not one against the other. It's tools for all and for different reasons.
Yeah.
And then two more. Tell me one story about a spirit that has come through during a Reiki session. Okay.
So this one time my client came, she got a facial and Reiki, and I could feel how heavy like her chest felt, like in her heart chakra. And I knew there was something bothering her, like she was experiencing heartache. Her dad had passed away. I remember feeling like I was swaying, like when I got to, I think it was her root chakra. I can't remember which chakra it was, but I remember feeling like I was like swaying back and forth. And I was like, okay, what is this meaning? And then I was like, okay, water. And then I was like, okay, there's someone, like there's something wanting me to think of water. And then all of a sudden I was in the middle, not in the middle, but I was in this spot on the lake. It's a very specific lake. It had, the trees were very like different from the trees around here. And it just had a different vibe, but it was just this one spot on the lake. And I was with this man and he said, she needs to come see me. Why hasn't she come yet? And like he was very gentle, but like obnoxious. Like he's like, what is it? Where is she? Like, you know, like it was very, like it was a very present energy that it was a clear sign. Everything was very clear. And so I was like, okay, I'll pass the message on. And then he got really, a lot gentler and he goes, I won't say her daughter's name, but he said, I'm watching over her and my granddaughter. And so, and they had a trip planned after the Reiki session. She was going to take her daughter on this trip. And he said that he was going to send his granddaughter a sign when they were on this trip. I took this all in and then I told her about it and she like lost it. And she knew exactly what she was talking about because her and her dad had this specific fishing spot that they would go to on their boat. And so that was their spot. And she hadn't gone back there since he died because she just was so like heartbroken still, of course. When I told her that, she was like, okay, like I guess I better go. And I told her like, yeah, like he really wants me to go. Yeah. And then even her husband came for a back treatment. He didn't come for Reiki, but I had his father-in-law come through again and was like, why didn't you take my daughter fishing yet? Like, he was still waiting for her. And so I told him that and he was like, holy shit, because he didn't believe in stuff like that. And so I said it in a way that his father-in-law would have said it. And he was like, oh, like, you know. And so, yeah, there's so many, but that was one that really stood out to me because I ignored it a lot. Like I wouldn't pay any attention to like these voices are like things, and sometimes it's not really clear. It feels like a dream, like, you know, when you're dreaming and it's kind of like a distant type thing. Mm-hmm. That's how it feels when I'm getting like these intuitive messages or like message from spirit. Now that I'm like actually going with it and saying the things that I'm getting messages to say, it's getting a lot more clear. I was just nervous, I guess, when I first started doing it to say things because I didn't want to get anything wrong.
How much healing were you able to provide? I mean,
oh my gosh.
Through that.
Like, she sent me probably like 10 referrals after that session. Yeah. So I was like, okay. Like, I'm glad I told you. Like,
that's awesome. Yeah. So beautiful. What is your favorite healing modality or spiritual modality?
It's tough between access bars and Reiki.
We didn't even talk about access bars.
Oh, well.
Next one.
Yeah. I'm going to say access bars, though, because of the amount of healing with, like, for my son, and such a transformative modality. Like, he's never been on meds for his ADHD because of that modality. Like, so cool.
I can't wait to hear more about that.
I never heard about it until, like, I started taking the course. Like, I heard about it when I was in school. Nobody in my community knows about it other than what I've told them still. And I'm like, just wait. This is gonna blow up. It just provides so much mental clarity and, like, focus, and oh, it's just good.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for spending some extra time with me. I know we went over by 3 minutes, but it was just as fulfilling of a conversation as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I'm so happy I got to be here.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Suzie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.